very warm welcome to the seventh installment of the Mind Podcast. And joining me today is Gary Wallace from Core MI. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm brilliant. Thank you, Darren. Yourself?
Fantastic. Yeah, no, I'm all good. And thank you so much for joining me today. I've just got a couple of quick questions for you to get us started. So if you could tell me a little bit about your business, Core MI, you're a director at Core MI, and also some of the other activities surrounding Core MI that you're involved in.
Yeah, so as we start off, our mission really at Core MI is to deliver positive experiences of physical activity and well-being with everyone we work with. Our main thing is we focus is around our Core Kids program, which we do in community groups and schools. And really we go in and our first and main foremost thing is get the kids to fall in love with physical activity. So it doesn't have to be a certain sport. It can be a sport. It can be fun games. It can be everything, but just make it fun and get them to fall in love with it. Then we introduce well-being into that. So we introduce some guided meditation and loads of other little things around that. We also then have like Core Educate. So we go out and we deliver staff training for schools. We deliver coaching courses too for coaches. We've done delivered programs for the AFA, the GA, Ulster Rugby, and I'm involved too as well developing coaching programs for Sport NI. So there's loads on that side. Again, we have so much. I'd say we've our Core birthday parties. We've everything that links in. There's a lot that goes on, but really encompasses that whole thing, delivering positive experiences of physical activity and overall well-being. And that's really, in essence, our main aim with all the programs we run.
No, brilliant. And how did Core MI come about, Gary?
Yeah, well, I worked with AFA as a primary school coach for, I think, 5-6 years or so. And I loved the job. I loved the people in it. But then I just got stale. I went through the emotions. And I always knew I could do something more. And my field was kind of more strength and conditioning and youth development. And I just thought, there's something more here. There's something that I can do. And I literally just said to myself one day, I'm not going to write another timetable, like a school timetable for the AFA. And I set that goal and I didn't. And then I just developed my own. So Core MI started off, the really reason I went Core MI, previous to that, I had Core Physio and Fitness. I was doing part-time personal training and classes and my cousin was a physio. Yes. So we just combined the names. We didn't really work together. We combined the name. So I kept the Core and then the NI because there was a domain name free for that. It's not going to lie.
Right, okay.
But yeah, it just went from that. And then I went from like, my whole idea was to develop this pathway for kids. So we started with Core Kids and then I'm going to move on to the Core Academy. So I wanted to develop this strength pathway, but the more and more I got into it, the more it was like, it wasn't about developing athletes. It was about developing better people and better kids and better. Right. And then that's where we really, really focused on. So yeah, that was it really. That's how it came about. I just always wanted to work for myself. And it's fantastic. Just set that goal on my part.
Brilliant. No, that's fantastic, Gary. And tell me a little bit about your journey through school and university. What was it you moved on to do at university?
So I did like sports studies and then sports science and too in uni. I started off, went into college. I actually went to Bangor Tech because I could play football for Jordanstown.
Yes.
As you do when you make your decision around sport, like rather than education. Yeah, yeah. So I was either going to go across England to go to Liverpool, but I decided to stay here. Did a few years and then I went on to Preston then to finish a degree. So went there and to be honest, education-wise, I didn't learn that much. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed my university life, put it that way.
Yes, I think we...
I wouldn't change it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change it.
Fantastic. Obviously, some of the stuff you're saying there, educationally, I was never a very academic person in a sense. I was always more active, a hands-on approach, but obviously I went to Korean University and that's where we linked up the connection for this call, yeah. This podcast today.
That's really what happened to me. I always say my biggest learning was after I finished uni. Maybe probably some of my biggest lessons in life were during uni, of how just getting through, meeting new people and just building connections there and making a lot of mistakes, really, I suppose, yeah. Which was brilliant, which was great. And then when I finished uni, I started working in a few special needs schools, classroom assistant, and then up to Korean, where I started working in the gym and a sport development officer. And then we just worked my way through there into the sport, into the sport development officer, and worked with, it was fantastic because I was working with the sports union. So you had, I think we had nearly over 30 clubs at that stage, whatever, yeah. It was crazy. And then you're working with students, you're working with the general population, and you're working with a few kids programs. So it gave me so much variety. And just like anybody who's going to get involved in sport, just funding was pulled. And that was it. Even at that university level, it was just like, no, we're going to go a different direction. And then that's when I came home, set up the kind of personal training stuff myself, and got the job at AFA. And as I said, then led to where I am now. So, but I've been doing a lot of, in during that time, you know, I went and I've studied more. I've probably read many more books than I have ever read during my time in school. I've just educated myself. I just followed my passion, coaching, and developed even that. And then the other side of my role with the Northern Ireland setup with the international, like working from Club NA from under 13s right through to 17s, 19s, 21s, and now very fortunate to get the role at the seniors as well. That's too. Fantastic. So yeah, it's been brilliant. Like, but sometimes you think you have to step back and you know, you don't go, oh wow. It's more so you have to let the journey happen at times. I know it kind of can sound a wee bit corny, but there's been moments in my life where I've had really down low times and I've had very doubtful of myself and my own ability, but it's only really made me stronger and kind of where I am today. But yeah, it's been a bit, if somebody was to draw out a map of your journey so far, I'd never wanted to be in a straight line.
The best way to learn is to learn for yourself and in a sense make some mistakes through life, because life is never going to be perfect. And that I've went through university, didn't know what I wanted to do, dropped out, went to Korean university, got into the event side of stuff, and the only real catch for me at Korean university was the family that we had there with the soccer club. And I've been involved now for over 10 years in the soccer club in a number of different roles. I've worn a number of hats as, you know, a player, as a coach, as a manager, as and now chairman of the club. And like that for me was the main thing. That's what got me through, the people around me, the camaraderie. And we also have like a graduates group. So every year we play graduates and friends. It's Captain's President's Day, which attracts, you know, 100 plus ex-students, graduates, and everyone just mixes in. And it's great to still have that. And I suppose that's one of the motivators for staying on board.
You Tom Stark, are you there?
Oh, aye, of course. Uncle Tom.
Renaming Stark Park, eh? So they will. I think that's the thing. I've been very fortunate, especially with sport. And this is why, again, I go back to what we do. I was never forced into play anything. I fell into things in the environment that I was in. And that's what we want to do with kids. The reason we talk about positive experiences is a lot of kids will have a negative experience of sport or physical activity. And a majority of the time it will happen in PE, in school, for a number of reasons, because it's either what the school normally plays, if it's football, if it's Gaelic, if it's hockey, then that's their sport. Or maybe not. I have a lot of empathy for primary school teachers that they have to be a maths teacher, English, they have to be, you know, personal development, then they have to do PE as well. So maybe they don't have the confidence or the skill. So they throw the kids into, oh, well, we'll just play football, or all right, it's dodgeball today. And the children turn around, you get a smack in the face to do whatever. And it's like, I hate physical activity. I hate PE. So we don't do a lot. And I think a lot of people's journey, whenever I even speak to teachers and do staff training, a lot of them will have that journey. Until they maybe even right up until they don't do nothing. When they get to secondary school, they'll do nothing. They go through college, they get out of college and go, I need to do something. You know, and but there's a fitness craze and everything now, but a lot of people have lost a lot of that fundamentals where they can learn the skill, they can learn to enjoy it, to fall in love with it, to go through the ups and downs. And that's the thing where like the sport, especially in, I know they were all big in college, like, you know, join a team. And that's what I loved. I loved when I was coaching, like I used to coach a lot of the teams in the uni, and I loved the people who just came for the first time.
Yeah.
you know, and I did it. I never played rugby, and I went and played rugby, and I played in the Saturday for like a thirds. I loved it. I just loved trying, but that was me. I had a very, very positive experience of sport. But the people, I had so much admiration for the people who came in, who, you know, always tell a story. It was brilliant. There was a Gaelic, he never played Gaelic before, and I was coaching the Gaelic team. I was there one day on the sideline, and the ball went out, and Nani goes out and say, you have to kick it back in.
Yeah.
I said, you take it, you take it. So she grabs it. She grabs it, she goes, puts it overhead, throws it in like football. And I didn't have a laugh, but I see that girl now again, and she looks at me like, don't you dare tell me that story. It's like, you cannot tell that story. But again, like, that's a positive, but that was something quite funny, and maybe embarrassing to her, but it was her personality. She was able to take it. But already, every time we see each other now, I was away traveling in New Zealand, and I seen her random in New Zealand, and we had that connection. I was like,
brilliant.
Oh, wow, gee, that's incredible. And then we're again, and it just starts off the conversation. And that's what sport does. It kind of links a lot of us. And if we can not force kids into it, but make it, okay, at a young age, make them fall in love. Yes, develop fundamental skills, develop everything, and it helps with their academic performance and everything. But get them to fall in love with it.
Yeah,
make it fun. That's it.
Listen, Gary, I'm going to strip you back slightly now and sort of delve a wee bit deeper into, you know, some of the struggles that you went through or some of the challenges that you faced throughout your journey to get to this point. You have had setbacks, you have had challenges, and part of that's been your own mental health.
Yeah, look, I think on reflection, there was an episode there where I had to admit to myself I had depression, and it's only now that I have this level of awareness where I can look back, and there's probably a time in my life when it was going through issues with my family, with my son and stuff, that I couldn't really deal with the situation that was being presented there. And there was a lot of anxiety, there was a lot of fear of losing him and everything, and it was a lot of it in my head, but I couldn't deal with it. Now, I was only maybe 24, 25 at that stage, and it really got to me, but I just didn't have the level of awareness. And I always thought that it was probably my first and my biggest life experience. Beforehand, my life, I was blessed. I grew up, amazing family, amazing friends, involved in everything. There was nothing that, I was never spoiled, but even in my own head, if I wanted to go places, I made it happen myself.
Yeah.
You know, and everything was great. Life was good. And I had focus, and I went through to college, and I had a time in life. I was doing something that I love. I was working in sport. And then things started to happen, which, you know, again, I couldn't fix with being the happy-go-lucky guy. I needed to really focus, be aware, you know, deal with conflict, deal with all these pressures. And I didn't deal with that. And it took me a long time to come out of that. And that's when I was in Korean, the first one. And eventually, just through things happening, through processes working, talking to friends and all that, I got through that. And that was down to a situation with my son at that stage. And that's all that was. And it was down to thoughts. But I kind of got past that. There was a resolve in that, and then I moved on, and everything's going well. And eventually then, a good few years now, I was in a happy relationship. Everything's going all right. Work was going there. But I started to put a lot of pressure on myself. God, you should be doing this. You should be here now. Why are you still stuck here? And then starting to blame and doubt other people around me. You know, blame the current relationship, blame where my work was going, blame that I wasn't going, and I should be doing more, and I should be reading more, I should be listening to more. And that just kind of built and built and built and built to eventually got to a stage where I was just in the deep state of depression, yeah. Like really low. I think that again was for me was, when I look back, and I not that the stigma around depression, I physically don't like saying it too much now. It's like the way I like to look at it is I learned from depression, you know, and people say you still have it. And I think we all have a level of this sense where we can slip into an area. You want to call it depression, you know, low mood, whatever it is. it's now I'm very fortunate that I've been there before, that I have a level of awareness of what my triggers are, of what sets me off, and I can not nip it in the bud, but I can learn to go with it, learn to, you know, okay, right, well, these are the techniques that work for me. This is what worked for me because of what's happened before. So yeah, look, it was a bit of a, it was a very, very tough time that I had to go through. Glad in a way now I went through it, really glad. And probably more so the fact that I've been able to help others. Like I'm not a counselor, I'm not a qualified counselor, but I can learn or listen to people more importantly, really listen to people from my own experience. I'm not really telling them what to do, suggest 100%, but being able now to listen, empathize, and to go, I hear you, more or less, you know. And yeah. And thankfully there's been a lot of people who've come to me for that, which has been really, really good.
I'm sure you've impacted a number of people's journeys, and people get to know you as a person, as a character, like he says, that happy-go-lucky character. But now, once they've found out that you have had difficult times, you have had challenges, it's more approachable for them to speak about some of their issues. And I think when people feel more open to talk about things, that's what I found through my own personal journey. And even trying to do some of this stuff with the podcast, a few other projects that I've got on the go. And that's like you, I've been on a journey where I've hit rock bottom, certain parts of my life. I've been on a difficult path, but it has brought me to this point in my life where I can now start to talk openly about some of the issues. If I feel as though I'm getting anxious again, or I'm struggling with something, and that in its sense is a relief. And you know, it's all a learning experience, really, because we do have these things inside us that we can't explain, but yeah. By caging them up and not identifying them or dealing with them, we're just amplifying it. Yeah. In a sense.
No, definitely. It's like having that like emotional intelligence. It's like, you know, we can be very intelligent in terms of academic ways, in life skills as such, even, you know, like I always find myself, get me in your room, get me talking to people, no problem. I had those skills. But that emotional intelligence, maybe to really relay how I was feeling, I probably struggled with. Not in a way that I was never really afraid. I couldn't really articulate, you know, or even maybe not even articulate, but have that level of awareness going, okay, well, why am I like this? You know, and actually question myself without getting myself really down, you know, and start thinking, you shouldn't be like this, you have that. You know, you talk about gratitude. I always find sometimes really hard gratitude when you are in your lowest. People say, oh, write out 10 things or 3 things. And I do it now every day, 100%. But when I was at my lowest, I struggled with it. I think, like, if going into detail kind of on that, you know, I went through even a journey through there. So my first thing would have been denial. So when I was feeling really low, I was blaming everybody else. So it was blame first. So it was blame this, blame relationship, blame my own ability, blame this, blame, oh, if this is different, that I if this changes, I will feel better, you know. And once I got past that stage and then admitted that, okay, right, there's something wrong here. And I spoke to my parents and I spoke to everybody and opened up. But again, I didn't 100% fully accept it. You know, I went to the GP, did the right line of stuff. The GP offered me medication. I took it reluctantly. I didn't really buy into it. I would never even take a paracetamol if I was sore head. So I didn't really even accept. And it took me a while to get this stage to say, okay, right, accept this. And then once I did that, it took me another while to go, there's only one person that's going to get you out of this, and that is yourself. And that was a long journey. Like I used to talk to counselors, and I think I talked to like 3 or 4 different counselors until, which I thought now when I look back, oh, this is the one, she can hear me, she can do. But I think it was more the fact that I was ready to accept a counselor at that stage. Whereas beforehand, it was like, I can just go into this. So hopefully, I don't like what she's saying, blah, blah. Were probably exactly the same words as the fourth counselor was saying,
but
it was me. I was ready to accept that. And I think I'm very glad that I did go through that. And there was kind of like a bit of a light bulb moment where I was speaking openly about it and I was doing things. And it was a friend of mine, a friend of my sister's, and she'd gone through her own journey too. And, you know, we were sitting and she just listened. And it was brilliant. She just went, I get you. Yeah. He's like, and I was able to explain. She says, no, I hear you. I hear you. And that was brilliant. And she just goes, Gary, I'm just sitting here now going, whenever you come through this, and you will, he says, you're going to do so much good because you are in a position that you can help so many other people.
Yeah.
And I just thought, God, you're right there. So not for the sake of, it's not anything I do, podcasts and all. And I think we all have this internal wee thing to feel great about ourselves. But deep down, I always say, if I can do this one thing, if I write an article, if I'm on Facebook, if I'm doing whatever, if I'm doing a podcast, if I can help at least one person, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I do a lot of stuff for my business and I will do stuff to make money, to make a life for the life that I want to live. And I'm not afraid to say that I want to make money because I have certain goals in life. I'm not afraid of money. Yeah. And I want to make money. And I don't think anybody should ever hide that and think, oh no, we should do this for free. It's like when people work with me and we're doing a project together, the one thing I dislike actually is I would say, like, send me your invoice. I was like, don't devalue yourself. Don't devalue yourself thinking, oh no, but it'll come back to me in abundance. And I was like, well, you are abundant and you have enough of abundance about you. You have a skill that I required for me to develop a product to sell. And that's as simple as that. You're a human being. Your skill is fantastic. You need rewarded for it. So that kind of went off there.
but I think you're completely right. And I'm glad you've touched on this because I think here, especially within Northern Ireland, for example, Ireland as well, but we devalue ourselves as human beings in the sense, like throughout my journey, I've given up my time, I've DJed for free, I've done loads of different events. And don't get me wrong, if there's purpose behind it and I support that purpose, I 100% don't mind doing it because that's just who I am. But there's times where I've felt pressured into doing favors and things for people and my business has suffered or, you know, and I've had to sit back and go, the more you devalue yourself, the less likely people are to buy that product because, oh, sure, your man does that for free, you know, sure. And then you just sort of lose yourself as an individual, as a human being. And that was when I set up my first events business, that was my biggest downfall because I was so passionate about getting my name out there, making it the biggest event company around the North Coast and, you know, DJ all these weddings, DJ in all these clubs. I just lost value in myself. I didn't value myself enough to go, hang on a second, I'm too busy to do this and do that. And yeah, it was a really difficult learning experience for me because I'm at a stage now where I do value myself. I value my time. I value everything I do, but I still give back when the time is right for me to do that. And I still support things and I'll still help people. But I'm at a stage now where I have two young boys. I need to make money for the house, for them to survive. And it is about becoming, and Gary Devenny touched on this in the podcast we did, it's about becoming selfish for me. And not in a sense that you're going out to harm anyone or hurt anyone, but you have to become selfish in yourself because if you're not, then how can you expect to make any change or push forward or follow your dreams?
See, even I, what you said there too, it's like one thing I think we all get caught up in is this I need to make money. It's like, I would change that to I want.
Yeah.
This is what I want. These are my goals. Like I write down my goals every single day, you know, of what I want. And I just know, like I have this belief and this faith that it's coming to me. The universe is providing, whatever you want to call it, you want to call it faith, God, universe. There's a force out there. And whenever you reflect and have that level of awareness and you go, you know, how did I always, when I was younger, I always went on ski trips. I always went on that. And, you know, yes, parents helped. But it was always happened because I was like, I'm going, you know, I made that decision. So it's like, now it's like, I'm making a decision and I don't watch the news. I think the thing is now is I hear what I need to hear. Don't get me wrong. Like even this last while when I hop in a car, I let's stick on a podcast or whatever. And, you know, even now at the moment, I just been sticking on music, you know, and songs where it give me energy or songs that I feel, okay, this is where I am now.
Yeah.
You know, and I've actually just listened to them on repeat. So There's times where I need to focus, I need to learn, you know, and so sometimes I look forward to a long journey because, oh yeah, I can stick on a podcast or I can listen to whatever. But there's other times where previous me would have listened to music or would listen to things, that was a waste of your time. What are you doing? You know, always go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And mentally, and that's not good. That's not a good place. And there's sometimes I still have to at the minute sit back and go, okay, where are you at? What are you doing? You know, don't feel pressured because you're sitting watching Netflix. Don't feel that you should be up doing whatever. That's not to say that's right or wrong. You know, some people say, oh, you know, you could sit around on that net, watch Netflix all day and not feel guilty. And yeah, I couldn't. For me, it's like more so like now, as I said, like this morning I was up in the lock, I went for a little run, went into the water, and I made my mind to come, we're going to go for a cycle. But that's doing nothing to me. That's my way of relaxing. Yeah. That's my way of going. And even I was talking to someone the other day, none of that would be like, oh, get that on Instagram. And that's our first thought. It's our first thought, especially now, but we'll go back to mental health. You know, the amount of times I've went to do something and the first thought for me is that'll look brilliant on Instagram.
Social media, yeah.
You know, and it's a scary, but to have people, you know, you talk about mental health, you talk about everything. It is what a lot of people think. You have to be truthful to yourself. You know,
you're exactly right. And I spoke to Sophie Irwin about it. She runs an account called Normalize. Yeah, we both got chatting about it, but it's that instant gratification. It's checking your phone to see how many likes you've got in the post instead of actually enjoying the moment and just being you and being present. We get so caught up in what does she think? What does he think? How come I've only got 10 likes on that? And we're so consumed in thinking that. And that's just the digital age we now find ourselves in. And it's something that I've been exploring, especially with these podcasts, is how much of an impact is that having, especially on our younger generation? You know, moving forward, how are they going to socialize and adapt post-COVID? How are they going to come back from this if they've been engaged in their phones now for 6 months? But there's two points to take from that. I think we haven't been in this long enough and people will adapt pretty quickly. And there's a high percentage of young people who are still active, still engaged, still want to play sports, still want to do these things. And then there is a percentage of ones that are on that path to something completely different, where this phone, this iPad, this laptop is a necessity. It's something that they need.
Yeah. No, Darren, I think we're all guilty of it. I really do.
Of course.
And the way I look at it too, I was doing talking with ones before, and I was like, don't feel guilty about being on that iller because, well, if you take the word Instagram, mm-hmm. you know, you want an instant hit,
yes.
You know, and, but these guys pay millions to have you attracted to your screen. Millions. It's not like by chance, it's like, oh, it's a natural, it's like putting, you know, tobacco into the cigarette mm-hmm. or nicotine into the cigarette. It's because it's addictive. It's like whenever you pick up Facebook, they want you, they know what buttons you're pressing, how long you're sitting on a certain thing. They will use algorithms, they will use codes to attract you back in. Netflix, you sit and watch Netflix, it gives you 3 to 5 seconds before the next episode comes on. And you think, oh, then you start thinking, oh, your willpower. It's not your willpower. Willpower is fantastic. It's like, willpower is fantastic, I think, for a short period. It's like when I'm doing talks and stuff, I say to people, about, especially about well-being, it's like, I can motivate you in an hour, no problem. If that's what you want to pay me for, excellent. But that will not work long term because eventually something will happen. It will work for some people and some people will take some tips on board. And I think they heard like a good news story about, I did a staff talk, a well-being talk, and there's a lady, she had a bad accident. She fell off her horse and she was immobile for a long time. She had a young family and stuff, and she really getting really down. And that's the thing, mental health and stuff can be affected in so many ways.
Yeah.
You know, for her being so active to then, you know, feeling probably worthless. But I was doing the speaking, I was saying about how much I emphasize my morning routine has helped me. And one of the first things is make your bed. You know, there's a famous speech by a colonel.
Yeah, I've seen it. And it's the one habit that I have conditioned myself to do over time because I'm just like, at least there's one task complete today. And I took so much value away from that, you know.
That's what it was. And she was saying too that, you know, that's she was having so many low days, and that's what she got into. But she even said it, there's obviously, she says, Gary Wallace, make your bed. And that's what she says in her head. And for me, it was like a sense of, the first thing I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And also that we, I felt, I'm not going to lie, I felt good within myself because I was able to help. But then it was my sister was telling me this, she worked with her, and she's like, but now they have all the kids doing it as well. So the kids are getting up in the morning and saying, Gary Wallace, make your bed.
Fantastic.
And like, oh, they get, and, but for me, the way I look at that is like, all I was doing there was sharing information that I already had learned or that had helped me. And that's all I'm doing. People are like, oh, Gary, you're fabulous and blah, blah, and this. I was like, no, I'm just very fortunate because I went through something. I've tried things. I am now educate myself. And what would be selfish of me is to hold that in. So can I do a medium of podcast? Can I do staff training? And yes, at the end of the evening, it would be wrong. I'm going to make a living out of it. I'm going to make a living out of it for something that I want. Okay. And then also I'm going to help people along the way. So yeah, that's, it is. It's like kind of, it's that willpower as I was talking about. It's just, it's okay to have willpower and think, okay, I'm going to do this, but it's to have that determination.
Yeah.
To develop those habits, to develop that culture within your own life of getting up. And it is hard. And that's the thing. It's we talk about our youth and stuff. How do we do that? It's daily. It's every single day. And it's one thing at a time. You know, like even with my own son, you know, we try different things, but we always focus on one thing. You know, simple thing, a great one I learned for anybody, kids with screen time, is I sat down with him and I set an alarm on Alexa. So if he's on the screen for 30 minutes, the alarm goes off. It's not daddy telling them, it's Alexa. And now he picks up a guitar or he picks up something else. But I heard it as well too.
Yeah.
And I think one thing I did with him, but as I sat down with him and I was like, look, I think you're maybe on your screen a bit too much. Blah, blah. And he's like, no, probably am. After a while, he came around to, yeah, he was like saying, yeah. I said, okay, well, how many hours per day do you want to be on it? Do you think you should be on it? And he went, oh, 3. I was like, okay, you make the rules, right? Fair enough. I said, but how long should you spend in each time? And he says, 30 minutes. I was like, perfect. And I go, like, well, how long then before your next slot of your 30 minutes? And he goes, 40 minutes. I was like, okay. But he decided the rules.
Yes.
He made the rules. We had a conversation. We talked about it. He decided them. And now it makes it so much easier whenever the alarm goes off, going, here, buddy, that's what it is. You made the rules. I didn't make them. I'm not telling you to get off this mechanical thing here. Alexa is setting the alarm and we're going for it. And he just picks up a guitar or something and it's now become a habit. And that's all it is. And so I've just used something else. It's like, that's what they say about that atomic habits.
Yeah.
You know, having that thing that, for example, I stretch in the mornings now every morning, but I tell Alexa to tell me the news. Now, my news I set up is mostly sport or something else. But when she's saying that, I stretch. So that's my trigger to go and stretch. Is your morning routine. It's one thing. Well, two things that really helped me transform the way that I do practical things. You know, yes, I had to have a level of awareness and stuff. But the first thing that I done that changed my life was I charged my phone outside my room. It was life changing. It was something so simple because when I was in my lowest, and let's go back to these guys are paying millions and millions of years of marketing to try and get you addicted and stuck onto these things. That's what I was doing. I was scrolling through, scrolling, lying in my bed and going through. And what I was watching and listening to and everything, it wasn't putting me in a good mood.
No.
You know, and that's the other thing, what was going in. You know, physically then too, with the blue light and how your brain then functions and all, everything that's going through, you're not going to be able to switch off. So just behind me here, just on the bookshelf, I charge my phone. Just at whatever time I'm going in, the second habit that linked to was when I go to bed, I read now. I don't have my phone. I'm maybe not as tired to go to sleep. So I pick up a book. And it's funny, we were out with mates boys that went to school with, and they were like, it's crazy. He says, like, you never read a book in school. He says, I was reading books all the time. He says, I wouldn't even pick up a book now. And now it's role reverse. Because it's a habit. Like, I get up at 5 o'clock some mornings. Well, at 5:45 we start out, but we start a book club. There's a book club
going. I was going to ask you about this because a mutual friend of ours at the Korean University had sort of prompted me to ask you about the 5:30 a.m. book club.
Yes. It's again, it's part of my morning routine now. So when I go right back to where I was, and you know, and I would have, even when I was in my lowest, I was trying to get out of it. I was trying, and I was reading self-development books, I was reading everything. And the message came through this morning routine. You know, people who were successful, people who maybe had a hard time, a morning routine seemed to be the big thing. So I started maybe 4:30 waking up, you know, getting in yoga. Going down, listening to motivational talks on YouTube and trying to relay affirmations. It didn't work. You know, I was writing out journals, I was everything. It just all of it. Doing the thing, I was trying to do everything at once. I was fatigued. I was tired. I was like, okay, don't pack it in. What can we do? So the first thing I did, what affects my mood the most is my sleep. All right. So if you want to get up early, you need to get to bed early. So an evening routine. So what was my evening routine? First thing was put my phone away. The next thing was reading. You know, but what was I doing beforehand? Was it a chamomile tea? Was it, you know, maybe just spend that time for half an hour to catch up in WhatsApp groups, whatever it was, but it was my routine. And I have an alarm goes off my phone, like a wee notification. It just says evening routine. And I start my evening routine, you know, or just even get that level of awareness, go, geez, that's the time. So that was my evening routine to get to bed. To sleep well. Once I started to read a book, it was just days ago, I slept well. I started to sleep well, so brilliant. Then I wake up, and now currently my morning routine I joined the book club. What they do beforehand with this, and again, I give it a while, but I'm not going to stick with this one. It's 5:15 to 5:45. We just talk. So there's about half a dozen of us, and we're all maybe like entrepreneurs, or we're all developed an awareness or whatever, we're trying to help each other out, and somebody talks and we just help each other out, or just sit and listen and maybe see if we can take some advice from it as well. Then we read, so we're reading like Psycho-Cybernetics the minute, read for half an hour, and then we discuss. Then what I'll do is I will go down, I will do 10 minutes of meditation. I'll then write my gratitude, so I'll write a list of 10 things that I'm grateful for, 5 that I'm grateful for that day, and then 5 that are going to happen in the future. So 5 things. What are the 5 things that I want? You know, between what's my relationship with money, relationship with family, you know, my dream home, what I'm doing with my business, and I write it in the present tense. So, you know, so I am so happy and grateful now I've taken my business worldwide. You know, it's happened.
Yeah.
Then I will write down my goal statement, or if I have an affirmation. So I'll write that all down. Finish off, maybe do a bit of a stretch, again, listen to the news. And then a morning walk. Always get outside in the morning. And again, that's adapt. Even simple things like that, that's changed now because of the book club. I would normally do my movement first. Or now because of the darker weather, I try to help with my circadian rhythm. So your internal clock. So we should all rise with the sun and set with the sun. So now the sun's not coming up to about 7:30, 7:45. So then that's when I'll go for my walk to get that in, and I'll listen to something. So all in all, it's probably about an hour in the morning. You know, be like, I don't have that time. I don't have that. And that's fine. That's where you are. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. You know, my mind will change to where I am, and I'll make it, and I'll correct and be aware of stuff. But it could be 3 minutes in the morning. You know, say you have a young family, the kids are up. By the time you're boiling the kettle, can you just stare outside and just even say internally to yourself, what's 3 things you're grateful for? Just, you know, even simple things like, I am grounded. I am here. Okay. Today, I am so happy and grateful for, I have another fantastic day of opportunity ahead of me. I have this amazing roof over my head. I have a wonderful family. And that's that. The kettle's boiled. Go and have your coffee. Have your water before your coffee. But it's things like that. And don't be afraid to try something and let it feel, because you'll learn so much more. And don't force it. It's a kind of a fine line between, oh, this is what your man's doing, or this is what I heard your doll doing on Instagram, and oh, this makes her feel great. If it makes her feel great, fantastic. Be really grateful and thankful that that's helping someone. It might not help you.
Yeah.
So what will help you? And that's, for me getting through my own struggles, the biggest thing was my morning routine. Because that hour, people say, God, I don't have an hour. But you talk about the selfish thing, that hour is for me and me alone. Nobody else. Will it affect everybody else in my life? 100%. Will it have a positive effect? But when I'm doing it, it's for me and nobody else. That's who I'm doing it for. There and then, we talk about being in the present. For me, does it have an after effect on my family, my relationships, my friends? 100%. 100%. My business even. My business thrives for me thriving. But not that hour. That's for me.
No, that it. Perfect, Gary. And I have taken so much away from this podcast already, because there's a lot of questions that I'm still trying to adapt to, and things that I'm trying to bring into my own life just to sort of try and get to a place that I want to be at, in a sense. Because like you're saying, I've been on that journey now where I have failed, and I've held my hands up and went, well, it's got me to the stage I need to be at now. And now I'm at a point where I'm ready to progress, in a sense that I want to push forward. I'm determined to do particular things, be more aware of me. But look, I really appreciate you giving me up your time today, but I'm just going to leave you with one thing, Gary. If there's someone out there and you could give any advice to who's listening to the podcast today, what would that advice be? If they're going through really difficult challenges and struggles, what would be your advice to them?
It is that old cliche of things will get better. And that's so hard to understand. It is so hard to understand. But for me, just know that there's somebody out there for you to help you in any way. You are not alone. 100%. Even if you think that there is nobody, there is somebody out there. Somebody who is going to help. And it could be by a sentence. It could be from a look. It could be just somebody listening. So if there is somebody out there to support you, and you will get to a stage, you know, people say it's going to be better. It's not going to be through magic. It's going to be through you. You are the person that is going to get you out of it. It may not seem like that at the minute. You may not feel like you have the strength, but we have this internally inside of us, this amazing ability. We haven't even, like ourselves, any of us, haven't even scratched the surface on what we can actually do. And anybody can do it. So just reach out to somebody, reach out to anybody. And if that person, if that doesn't work for you the first time, keep going, keep reaching until you realize you get this stage where you can say, okay, I've reached enough. Now it's me. And that will come. That will come. So yeah, just keep reaching out. Keep reaching out.
I would just like to say a massive thank you to Gary Wallace from Core NI for joining me on the podcast. I definitely took a lot away from the podcast, especially the importance of a morning and evening routine, which Gary has said he has developed himself over time. The impacts of physical fitness on your mental well-being. On a personal note though, I definitely took away a lot from me and Gary's discussion about money being a necessity. I think I even brought it up myself during the podcast, was I needed to make money for my family to pay the bills. Gary correctly stopped me in my tracks and highlighted, why don't you rephrase that? Why don't you change that to, I want to make money? And over the last number of weeks, I have been thinking more and more about this. Last year, I spent most of my year just getting by, just getting through a very difficult and challenging year. However, 2021 brings about opportunity that will allow me to want to make money for me, for myself, for my business, and I'm really looking forward to that challenge. So thanks again, Gary, for joining me. We hope you enjoyed the Mind Podcast, mental health in a new direction.